We revel in your grace, your majesty, your sovereignty. We bless you for your mercy, your kindness, your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, in these days you're showing us how you think and enabling us to understand your ways so that we may align ourselves with you in day-to-day life, and that, Lord, as we journey with you, we will do so with an upgraded confidence in who you are and who you intend to be for us. Father, I ask for grace this afternoon that, Lord, just to enable me just to discharge the burden you've given us. I pray that in some indefinable way you'll stretch the time so that, Lord, I can communicate what I really feel is on your heart here. And give us grace to hear, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, God works in two ways. He works by manifestation, and he works by hiddenness. There are times when God reveals himself to us, and there are times when he hides from us. But when he reveals himself to us, he's doing one thing, and when he hides from us, he's doing something different. And life in the Spirit is about finding out where you are in terms of what God is doing and wanting to reveal in your life. Let me tell you now, you cannot go through your life with a full-on, total manifestation of God all the time. It's not possible. Somebody breathe there. You weren't designed that way, and neither was God. It's not who he is. Isaiah says, you are a God who hides from your people. And the thing is, there are things that God can only do in a season of hiddenness, and there are other things he can only do when you're in a season of manifestation. The promise of God upon us is that he has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. Matthew 28, he said, lo, I am with you always. It's interesting, he declares himself to be our hiding place. So David's whole vision of that in Psalm 17:8 was, you keep me as the apple of your eye, you hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 31:20, you hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. And it's interesting, it's when you know how to hide with God, then we are not subject to weariness. Because there's something about hiding away, learning the discipline of stepping back into your spirit now. So when the conspiracies are flowing and you're being misunderstood and rejected, there is a place to hide in God where you can get healed right quick. Psalm 91 talks about the shelter of the Most High, about hiding under his wings, that he is our refuge, our fortress, our dwelling place, and we have to learn to abide in his shadow. John 15, Jesus put it a different way. He said, you learn to abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And so there's a process here. What the Holy Spirit is doing with us, he's teaching us how to live as close to God as it's possible for us to get. Psalm 32:7 says, you are my hiding place, you preserve me from trouble, and you sing over me with songs of deliverance. The whole point about hiddenness is that hiddenness is designed to connect us with God's wisdom. And God's wisdom is the revelation of who he is and how he likes to work in our lives. So Job in chapter 28, verses 20-28, he says, he asks the question, where does wisdom come from? Where is the place of understanding? And he says, it's hidden from the eyes of all living. Only God understands its way and knows its place. See, in hiddenness, God is teaching us the wisdom of how to walk with him, how to know him, how to understand him, and how to learn reverent fear. Psalm 51:6 says, you desire truth in the hidden part. In the hidden part, make me to know wisdom. So in hiddenness, it's the wisdom of God that's actually being introduced to us. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul put it this way. He says, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God. It's only found in the hidden places with God, and it's only spoken in times of hiddenness. Because the truth is this, in times of manifestation, you cannot hear deep truth. Why? Because Jesus is such a massive distraction. You start to look upon Jesus. You start to gaze upon who He is, and you get so caught up with who He is, all sense leaves you. And you are not open at that point to deep truth, because all you want to do is get in His presence and stay there. So if you've got your Bible there, turn to Luke 18, verse 31. And He took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For He will be handed over to the Gentiles, He will be mocked and mistreated and spat upon, and after they have scourged Him, they will kill Him, and the third day He will rise again." But the disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of this statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. Three times in that last verse it says the same thing. They were incapable of hearing deep truth because He was still present with them. It wasn't until after His death and His resurrection that suddenly all the lights started to come on, and now they understood what He meant. While He was present, they couldn't receive that deep truth. Afterwards, when He was departed, it all became clear to them. Here's Jesus speaking at length about the cross, His death. They didn't understand a single word He said. He said to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For these are words which testify of me." The point of what the Holy Spirit is doing with our lives is He's promoting this internal development of the inner man of the Spirit. You will either live in your soul or you will live in the inner man of your spirit. And your soul is not wrong. Your soul loves God. But your soul wants God on its terms. And God's just going to say no. Your soul is only ever going to be happy when it learns to submit to the inner workings of the Spirit. What we call the cross. He's putting to death our soul so that it begins to serve the inner life of the Spirit. And there is a wisdom that comes from above that cannot be gained by academic study. When you learn how to walk with God in hiddenness, the wisdom you gain gives you a whole new perspective on situations. And it produces in you a rest and a peace which, frankly, are astonishing. There is a serenity that comes into your life when you know how to walk with God in hiddenness. There is a calmness that descends. And no storm is going to upset that. Because once you know how to access peace in the inner man, it's just a discipline. So I reckon I can bring myself to peace, no matter what is occurring, normally inside 10 seconds. It's just a matter of stepping back into that place that the Holy Spirit is teaching us how to access and how to live there. Revelation 2:17 says, "To those who overcome, I will give some of the hidden manna." This is spoken to a church situated in a very strong occult location. The church at Pergamum, they've only gone and planted a church right where in the most occult part of town. And people are being martyred in that community. You see, in times of oppression, knowing how to live in the secret place of God provides you with additional revelation, hidden manna. Interesting that God will speak certain things to you only on a battlefield. And the whole point of spiritual warfare is not that we learn authority over the enemy. It is that we discover the sovereignty, the supremacy, and the majesty of who Jesus really is for me. We're only going to overcome if we allow ourselves to be developed internally. And the Lord wants all of us to be able to live from the inside to the outside, not the other way around. So we're not sat here waiting for something to happen, but we're learning that something has already happened. I just need to live from the right place with God. I need to understand fully the process of that internal development in Him. You see, in manifestation, we are reveling in our experience of the presence of God. You feel surrounded by Him. You hear His voice clearly. There's a touch of Him upon your life. There's a lightness in our spirit. There's an ease in our worship and our praying. In fact, the love of God fills us. We know His joy and His strength. There's that release of anointing. There's an impartation. We see God everywhere. There's an enjoyment of God upon us. The favor of God is with us. We're able to see things that God wants us to see. There's a fruit bearing. There's a living in the blessing of God. There's a victory. There's an accelerated time of growth. You know, God loves to show himself to us. I absolutely agree that I believe God wants to show off in these next years. I believe that God wants to manifest himself around the earth. I believe he is. The stories of what God is doing in certain countries right now are quite outrageous and shocking, especially to our Western sensibilities. He loved to show himself. He got Moses to ask him, "Show me your glory," because he wanted Moses to see something in the spirit realm. He said, "I'll cause my goodness to pass before you." All of Israel would see the presence of God coming down to the tent of meeting. They had the cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night. Moses experienced the burning bush. Many of God's people saw physical manifestations of God in their life. The angel of the Lord, the captain of hosts, wheels within wheels, the fourth man in the fiery furnace, the Mount of Transfiguration. In manifestation, he is blessing us in the physical realm. God invades our heart to reveal himself and to conquer our soul. That's manifestation. He seeks us, to touch us, to restore our soul so that we are emotionally connected with who he is. That's manifestation. He invades your world and comes and touches you. But in hiddenness, he withdraws from you and he wants to pull you into his world. He withdraws from our soul, our emotions, in order to connect us in a deeper way with the inner man of the spirit. He takes us into his realm, which is the realm of faith. So he closes off our capacity to physically and emotionally experience him. And he wants to draw us into this place where we start to learn how to walk by faith. How to believe that he's present simply because he said he would be. And hiddenness is about walking by faith. Manifestation is about walking by sight. In hiddenness, he teaches us how to perceive him by faith. He shows us how to receive him spiritually just by believing in his word. How many of us understand that God invented hide and seek? In manifestation, he seeks us. In hiddenness, we are learning how to seek him. But we're seeking him with the guarantee that we will find him as we learn to become wholehearted. So hiddenness is about becoming totally focused in faith. It's about learning wisdom in the ways of God. It's about learning to walk by faith, not by sight. It's about learning how to develop the inner strength as we learn to be confident in God. It's about learning stillness and quietness. It's about learning to live from the inside to the outside. Manifestation and hiddenness. In hiddenness, God is still there. He's just hiding. But he always hides in plain sight. Normally, he hides right next to you. He's just disconnected you from your normal way of receiving him. Because he wants to teach you a more excellent way of receiving him, which is through your faith. Right, when my sons were growing up, my son Ben, he's 27 now. When he was growing up as a six-year-old, I mean, we used to play hide and seek with it. He was six, my other son Seth was four, 2 years different. And they were totally different in how they played hide and seek. Ben would get really nervous if he couldn't find me in the first few minutes. So with Ben, I had to make sure that certain parts of my anatomy were always sticking out. Seth, on the other hand, had a radically different view of hide and seek. I would say, "Seth, count to 100. And he would just go, "One, two, miss a few, 99, 100. You had to be real quick when that guy was playing with you. And then Seth would go, "One, two, miss a few, 99, 100. And then he would go and hide. Then when you got fed up and went looking for him, you'd say, "Ha, found you." See, in hiddenness, God removes our external vision to give us something better, which is internal perspective. He removes the visible in order to create a new vision on the inside of us, teaching us to walk by faith, not by sight, teaching us to live inwardly, helping us believe in the promise, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." teaching us internal stillness so that we can detect His presence by faith. Why does God whisper? Why does He speak in a still, small voice? It's His way of teaching us to listen more intently. I remember many years ago, about, 14, 15 years ago, more probably, the Lord said to me, "Gray, you're not going to feel my presence for the next 2 years. But son, I really need you to learn this discipline. Because if you don't learn this discipline, all the things I want to do with you, I will not be able to do. So you're not going to feel my presence for the next 2 years, but I promise you, I will be right there. But you have to learn to walk by faith now." And from that moment, I didn't feel this presence. It took me like 3 or 4 months to stop whining, hoping that He might change His mind. Fat chance when God is determined on something, you know. And so I would pray for the sick and they would get healed. Never felt a thing. I could prophesy for hours on end. Never, people, all kinds of crazy things happening. Never felt a thing. Be in the middle of this intense worship, trying to give all my heart to God in worship. Never felt a thing. Sometimes just ministering to people, the place looked like a slaughterhouse, and bodies everywhere. Never felt a thing. About 7 or 8 months after, He said this to me, "You're not going to feel my presence for the next 2 years, but I need you to learn these disciplines." I remember being, I think I was out in Asia, I can't remember where I was, my memory is not slow. And I had a blank postcard in my Bible, because my daughter used to write, and my sons used to write messages and stick them in my Bible, and I'd find them on tour and stuff, you know. Get on the phone, and my Ben would say, "So have you got to Timothy yet, Dad?" Because that's where he'd hidden it, you know. So, I had this blank postcard, and so just, because I felt like this, you know, I felt like depressed, because I couldn't feel the presence of God. I was still in the grip of learning how to live by faith. And so I wrote on the address side of the postcard, I wrote, "To God in heaven." On the message side, I wrote, "Dear God, wish you were here, love, Gray." Because that's how I felt, and I stuck it in my Bible. A couple of days later, I fumbled my Bible, and it fell to the floor, and the postcard slid out. And on the address, it's different writing. On the address side, it was my hotel room, the hotel in the city where I was. And on the message side, it said, "Dear Gray, what makes you think I'm not? Love, God." I wrote, "Dear God, wish you were here. Love, Gray." He wrote, "Dear Gray, what makes you think I'm not? Love, God." And then I watched and I physically saw it change back to my handwriting. Never felt a thing. And I realized God is so totally serious about this lesson. And I had to give myself to learning how to live from the inner man of the Spirit and live by faith. And then life just went on, you know, and I gradually got to a place where I was comfortable in everything that was happening. It never bothered me anymore, because as far as I was concerned, He was there, and that was enough. And then it's just, I don't know, a while later, I went to bed one night, quite early for me, and I woke up, looked at the clock, it's midnight, and I look at the clock, and it changes to 12:01, and suddenly the physical presence of God is in my bedroom, and I realize it's 2 years to the day. 1 minute past midnight, and He can't wait to reconnect emotional. I cried. In manifestation, we behold His beauty. In hiddenness, we are shown His glory. So Moses asked to see God's glory. God took him to a place hidden from everybody else. He took him up a mountain. Put the Bible there. Turn to Psalm 27. Let me just show you something here. Read you these verses. Psalm 27, verse 4. "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. But in the day of trouble He will conceal me, hide me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. He will lift me up on the rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices and shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." See, in manifestation, we dwell in His house and behold His beauty. But in hiddenness, He hides us. And we learn how to be hidden. And in particular, we learn how to be hidden from the enemy and how to be hidden from the conspiracies of men. I think I mentioned the other day, I have lots of demonic assignments against me from Satanists and so on. It doesn't mean a thing to me because I know that a part of my ministry is towards Satanists and the occult. And part of the promise of God upon my life is that I will win the key lieutenants of the enemy into the kingdom of light. So for me, the whole point of hiddenness is where you actually gain your intimacy with God. Manifestation is where you play it out. But in hiddenness, there is a deeper place of intimacy. We all want the manifest presence of God, and so do I, because I love it. But I know that in hiddenness, there is a wisdom that enables you to see and understand God in a totally different way, and you learn how to be hidden in Him. And in particular, that hiddenness means that the enemy cannot prevail against you, because he cannot penetrate the secret place. They can't flipping well find it, for one thing, because it's a secret. And in that place of hiddenness, God establishes you above the head of your enemies. So then you understand that warfare then becomes a place where your intimacy gives you a victory that your knowledge and your experience cannot bring into you. The result is, in hiddenness, our worship increases. There's shouts of joy when the enemy comes around, because your intimacy is meant to be intimidating to the enemy. Learning how to hide in God is a major part of our spiritual development. We need to see the unseen realm. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. Let me read these verses to you. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says this: all things are for your sake. All things are for your sake. So that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying and getting weary, our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison to what we're actually going through. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In the unseen realm, we learn how to fix our eyes on God. The inner man is renewed in hiddenness to view that which is eternal. And it's interesting that what you see in a place of hiddenness is yours to release in manifestation in the natural realm. Your capacity to see into the realm of the spirit increases your spirituality. If all you can see is the temporal world, you will not be much use in the day of trouble. It's the eternal perspective that overcomes the enemy. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a story of two guys, Elisha and his servant. Now, it's just a normal Wednesday morning, and the servant gets up to go to Starbucks to get the prophet a coffee and the morning paper. And while he's out there, he sees the host of the army of the king of Aram encompassing the city. Because Aram has been trying to make war on Israel for a while now, but all of his battle plans come to nothing simply because the prophet is getting words of knowledge. First of all, he thought we must have a spy in our midst, because they're getting advanced intelligence. You know, one of the deals about the prophetic is we are supposed to be able to pinpoint where the enemy is working. So in the time of Jehoshaphat, when they're being surrounded and look like being annihilated, the Spirit of God comes on Jehaziel. One of the first things he says is, behold, the enemy is coming up by the cliff of Ziz. Pinpoints exactly where he is. And Elisha has been doing that in sending word out so that the ambushes have not worked. They've had this huge witch hunt in Aram, but have not found any spies. And then someone says, Israel has a prophet who even gets intelligence about what goes on in your bedroom. And so they send this great army to the city Dothan where he's staying. And so this Wednesday morning, that's the first thing that the prophet's servant is eyeballing, and he has a fit. But he's realizing, that's it, we're dead. They're here to kill the prophet, they're going to kill me as well, just in case the anointing may have rubbed off on me. So he's not a happy bunny at this point in time. as he goes and gets the prophet, and his words are, "Alas, master, that's it, we're going to perish." And he looks at the prophet, and first of all, he cannot understand his tranquility. His hiddenness brings you into a place of peace and rest. And your rest is a weapon against the enemy. He can't understand his tranquility. And he looks, he sees his lips are moving, and he gets a bit closer, and he hears the prophet saying, "Well, there are more with us than there are with them." What's happening? This is a picture of soul and spirit right here. One guy in his soulishness is only able to eyeball the circumstances, and he's afraid and in fear of his life. The other guy, who knows how to live in hiddenness, can look beyond the natural into the supernatural realm and see what God is doing. I tell you, beloved, this thing of hiddenness and manifestation is so critical, because out of it, only those people exercised in hiddenness are really going to have the wherewithal to take a nation and to save a nation and to deal with the high things in that nation. And so the prophet prays for him, and his eyes are open, and I reckon he would never be the same ever again. Because you only need to see into the realm of the spirit once to get taken up by it. And so the prophet goes walking out towards this army, secure in what he has seen in the natural. And when he gets there, none of them recognize who he is, and he takes them on a 14-mile hike from Dothan to Samaria, where the king of Israel is waiting. And the Israeli king says, Master, shall I kill them? Bloodthirsty little what now? Elisha says, "Nah, just feed them and send them home." The scripture says, they never bothered them again. Interesting, eh? Story of two men. You know, if all you have is a manifested relationship with God, eventually that's going to turn soulish on you. You've got to be able to see into the realm of the spirit. And you need wisdom to walk with God. Experience by itself is not enough. You cannot be dependent upon this emotional relationship. It's not wrong, it's just limiting. Hiddenness releases you to see into the spirit, so that you can become something other than what you are in the natural. What you see in the spirit realm is yours to release in the natural realm. There's an impartation here too that enables people to process their inward journey in an accelerated form, I believe. Most believers, it seems to me, just want a temporal relationship with God. In our hearts, we're wanting to be touched and to touch Him. There's nothing wrong in that. We're crying out for manifestation. I'm crying out for manifestation because I love it. And God loves it too. But in hiddenness, He is longing to draw you into a deeper place where He can show you His secrets. He can show you His mysteries. He can show you the deep things of the Spirit, the unseen and the eternal realm that you are a part of. In manifestation, He shows you His face, and we behold His beauty. In hiddenness, He reveals His heart. He teaches you His mind and His ways, so that you can perceive Him internally at all times. It was interesting to me in renewal, watching how some churches did renewal. This is not a criticism, this is an observation. I spent a lot of time in renewal meetings, and I began to see that there were some people who would come down and be prayed for, and absolutely nothing would happen to them. And there were other people who would come down, and as soon as you touched them, they'd be all over the place, like an octopus on crack. And it was interesting to me, is that the people who came down for whom nothing was happening, in some places they would take those people, I was in one place, and they put all those people into another room. And I said to the pastor, "So what happens with them?" He said, "Well, we're going to get them all delivered." I said, "What of?" He said, "Well, there's a hardness here, there's nothing working, there's something wrong in their life, we're going to get them set free." And in my heart, I knew this was not so. And I said to him, "Well, can I have them for the evening?" And he said, "Well, sure." And so I went in there and I just taught them something on hiddenness. See, the point is, when you're in hiddenness and there is a move of the Spirit happening, you're not going to get touched by it in the same way that people are in manifestation. Something different needs to occur. I go back home and we had the whole renewal thing happening. We would say, if you're in a manifest relationship right now, go on this side. So, you know, all the farmyard noises can happen over there. And those of you who are in a place of hiddenness right now, you need to get your journals. And you need to come down with pen and paper and so on. And we'll pray for you. And you lie on the floor. And while you're down there, just start writing. Don't think about what you're writing. Just write until your wrist breaks. And then you can read what you're writing. Why? Because right now, they're having an experience with God. You're supposed to be here getting revelation. God wants to show you wisdom. And so we'd have these people in a quiet room, just lying on the floor, and God would start to show them stuff, and they would start to get healed and delivered just because of the revelations that God was giving them, because that's what was happening to them. Because in hiddenness, it's about wisdom. It's about understanding. It's about seeing. It's about perceiving in the spirit. Hiddenness is not about experiencing physically. It's about coming into a deeper place of wisdom, understanding, revelation, and perception. And it's fascinating to me is that it seems this way, that the guys who went through renewal in our church in hiddenness have something deeper to hold on to than the guys who were in a manifested relationship. Fascinating, yeah. I remember being in one of our meetings back home, and a guy that I'd been discipling came down, and he was hidden. He'd been in the place of hiddenness for about a year with the Lord, and I'd been discipling him in his hiddenness. And so he came down with a big smile on his face and his journal, thinking, great, on the carpet tile, I wonder what God's going to say to me tonight. So excited, and I love that. And it's like the Lord dug me in the ribs and said, great, what's this? So Mark got down there, and someone laid hands on him, and his book went one way, his pen went the other way, and he's all over the place. And the Lord just laughed and said, flipped him over. It's like he went from hiddenness to manifestation in like a split second. It's like God is killing himself laughing. Oh, flipped him over, eh? Listen to this now. This is important here, yeah? Because I do think there are a lot of churches who missed something in renewal in this whole area. And I'm thinking there are a lot of people who were damaged unintentionally by renewal because you were in a season of hiddenness and you didn't know it. And neither, is that true for anybody? Nothing happened for you, but you were prayed for endlessly and you kind of like felt, well, am I demonic? You know, am I a second class believer? Is there something wrong with me? And many of us actually, you know, were unintentionally damaged. You know, you need to forgive people because they were just walking according to the light that they had and doing the best that they had with a phenomenon they didn't really understand. None of us really understood it that well. We thought it was just the tendency for us is to think that every move of the Spirit is a blanket move. And it never is. Because God is not one-dimensional. He's not just doing one thing across the whole body. Whatever move of the Spirit God gives us, it will not interfere with the spiritual disciplines that He is committed to teaching us. Understand that. Moves of the Spirit do not replace what God wants to do in our life. They enhance them, they quicken them, they do not replace them. God's manifest presence will embrace all the realities of the spiritual disciplines required for us to experience life in the third heaven while we're alive. The premise is this. There's no blanket presence of God that covers everybody in the same way. It's rather that the manifest presence embraces each of us in the present reality of what He is teaching us. So for those guys going through hiddenness, renewal had to have this particular manifestation of wisdom and revelation. And they needed time and space and quietness to process what God was doing. Meanwhile, you know, we could have the zoo over here and that would be wonderful. And I had the privilege on days of walking in between the two. Okay, for a classic understanding of hiddenness and manifestation, turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, I'm going to read from verse 13. This is the road to Emmaus. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. This is classic hiddenness. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, oh, it cracks me up every time I read it. He said, what things? But how mischievous can you get, eh? And they said, you know, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Some of the women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning. They didn't find his body. They came saying that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive.
Right.
Some of those who were with us went to the tomb, found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they didn't see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. They don't know who he is. He's hidden, but he's giving them revelation. In manifestation, you cannot receive deep truth. Yeah? And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. They said, stay with us. It's getting towards evening. The day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, it was a Homer Simpson moment, right there. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? They went back to Jerusalem, found everyone gathered together, and everyone was saying, the Lord has really risen and appeared to Simon. And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them at the breaking of bread. He was with them, but their eyes were prevented seeing him and recognizing him. This is classic hiddenness strategy from God. You see it in the Old Testament too with Jacob, Genesis 28:16. Surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. What you call retrospective revelation. You look back and you think, oh, he was there all along. Retrospective revelation is good. The ability to look back over things and discover God is brilliant. But God wants us to get to a place of progressive truth where we understand what's happening now and how to align ourselves and cooperate with him. And you only learn that kind of wisdom through hiddenness. His presence is not visible, but he's visible. He's present to your faith. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You have to come to a the reality of God to your faith is just as good as the reality of God to your emotions. There is no difference in that sense. The one thing the Lord wants to do in hiddenness is he wants to cut through all the soulish analysis that we have around our lives. He wants to cut through all the nonsense of what we're seeing and perceiving and begin to tell us how things really are with our lives. So the guys, once we started praying with them in renewal and said, go buy a journal and bring it, and we're going to lay hands on you, and you're going to just lie on the ground voluntarily, and we're going to lay hands on you that you would receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. And when you're ready, be still. When you're ready, just start writing. Don't think about what you're doing. Just write and write and write. Write in the spirit until your arm is so tired you can't write anymore. And then read what you've written. And you found people just started to weep. Because God would begin to give them clues and things from their past and begin to give them revelation about this and that and how he perceived certain things. And I was privileged to read some of these journal entries from guys. One guy I know who always said about himself that he never went to school, he just used to meet the other kids on the way home, And so he's barely got like, I don't know, a sixth grade education. And his writing's all over the place. But the stuff that he was writing was amazing. But he was learning to process things by the Spirit because he knew where he was and what was happening. And you know, those entries in those journals have become the foundational point for the next season of those people's journey. That was fascinating to me. But God was cutting through a lot of soulish analysis. And so with the disciples here, you know, before Jesus came on the road, they were having these endless discussions about what was happening, but they had no revelatory breakthrough. And so when you have endless discussions with no revelatory breakthrough, you only establish the paradigm that you started with. They had no true supernatural perspective to help them process events. So you're almost bound to come up with some kind of soulish analysis. And what was happening was they were processing their disappointments. We thought it was he who was sent by God. We must have been wrong. They were sad and downhearted. That's one of the signs of people who are not processing their hiddenness in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, you know, that your sadness does not deflect God from his chosen purpose in your life. God has no sympathy for us. Tons and tons of empathy, but you have to go through it. That's what my daughter calls, you know, the one word she hates in the Bible is the word nevertheless. She said, don't you hate it when God gives you the N word? It's like he emphasizes with where you are, but you still have to go through it anyway. Nevertheless, I will be with you. Oh, great. He will not be deflected from his purpose of developing the inner man of your spirit. Many times we're sad in terms of hiddenness until we learn how to process it properly. Then you can learn how to rejoice in God always. But in hiddenness, he uncovers all of our wrong perspectives about him. It's really important. Remember what we said the very first evening? What you think about God is the single most important thing in your life. Because those thoughts will drive who you are and will drive your life in terms of your worship, your service, your sacrifice, and so on. And God seeks to shed light on our ignorance of what he is doing. And so it's interesting, the questions that Jesus began to answer, the things that God will begin to talk to us about will uncover what we don't understand. It's always part of God's plan to expose revelatory weakness in order to really gear us up to understand the depth of what he's actually called us to and how he's going to fulfill those things and how we're supposed to walk with him in the process of all of that. Also, too, in hiddenness, whatever current disappointments you have are going to get dealt with by revelation. It's fascinating to me is that people who don't know how to live with God in hiddenness are always going for counseling. I'm not saying anything against counseling, but I do believe that there is a revelatory anointing poised over the church where God wants to give us chapter and verse on how he sees our life. And he wants to give it to you direct. And he wants to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him that will unlock your current circumstances and release to you a faith that you never thought you could have. So we do not become dependent upon other ministries, but we learn how to process things in the spirit by ourselves. That's what the Bible means when it says you don't need other people to teach you. It's not saying there's no place for the teacher, because there is. But there are times in your life when the Holy Spirit wants to connect deep unto deep with who you really are and talk to you. And the wisdom that you get for yourself, will stay with you for the rest of your life. Because when you get it, it hooks into you. And you never, ever forget the revelation God gives you personally. It cuts through our disappointments. You know, Jesus overturned several major expectations of the Jews. First of all, there was the manner of his coming. He came as a servant, not a king. That upset a lot of people, eh? Secondly, he also came with a message for the Gentiles. Well, that wasn't kosher, was it? And thirdly, his main purpose was to bring a spiritual kingdom, not to rescue Israel from the Roman Empire. Many people were disappointed with him. Everyone thought the Messiah would do more to rescue Israel. There came a point, I believe it's John chapter 6, when he says, many people stopped walking with him and went away from him because they were disappointed and disillusioned with who he was. And at that point, he sent a message, you know, John's disciples sent a message, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? because everyone had all these conflicting ideas. When Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" there were four distorted images that came out. It's interesting, even after a 40-day conference with a risen Christ, you know, when you got your teacher walking through the wall and saying, "Good morning, class." Even after a 40-day conference, what's the one question they ask? "Does this mean you're restoring the kingdom of Israel?" "No, it flipping well doesn't. You oik. Is this a piece of your brain? What is wrong with you?" Thing is, God has to process our disillusionment from the inside to the outside to get it away from us. Hiddenness is always about a change of heart towards God. And it's interesting that in hiddenness, when your heart changes towards God, your heart also changes towards other people. Hiddenness is about God exposing your unbelief about Him. They had received some clues from the women at Jerusalem regarding Jesus. And maybe it was their prejudice against women that prevented them from believing. Who knows? Maybe they thought it was too good to be true. And the gospel, as we know, is supposed to be too good to be true. Maybe they were just too cerebral. Maybe they could only process logic and information. Maybe they were just the early beginnings of fundamentalists. You're not a fundamentalist today. A person who's no fun and mainly mental. Revelation is an affair of the heart that initially may offend our minds. In times of hiddenness, God will begin to answer the questions in our hearts. And He begins to instruct us in His ways and in His thoughts. Now, when we're in times of distress, we don't get into that hidden place. Often in times of distress, we get into our soul and we want physical, emotional, and mental stimulus to help us process events. And I think this is where the church is stuck right now. A lot of what we can do in meetings ends up being soulish because we're actually trying to touch people, we're trying to move people physically when they're actually, they may be in a season of hiddenness and need to process revelation. We get into our soul because we want all this kind of stimulus to help us feel better. But in times of hiddenness, revelation is born into the spirit man. And we learn how to step back into the secret place to discover who God is for me. And it's a discipline that we learn. Now, in hiddenness, God always wants to go further. He wants to process our negatives into a place of faith, dealing with our distorted images, dealing with our disappointments, instructing us into a fresh way, a deeper place of revelation. When we talk about hiddenness, we're talking about living in the deep places of the inner man of the spirit, where we turn and we yield inwardly to who God is. We learn to live from the inside to the outside. And we learn the ways of peace. We learn the ways of rest. We learn the disciplines of how to experience all the fruit of the spirit, no matter what is occurring out there. Because we are no longer bothered by the external things, because we can find God in here. So right now, the thing you need to understand is, you are your own move of God. You are your own move of God. You can experience God any time that you like, because there are no restrictions on His side. This whole idea that things are held up, I believe that there are certain things that are coming. But I believe nothing is held up in terms of our personal experience with God, because God wants to make us ready for what He wants to do. But we would all prefer just to sit around and wait for something to happen. But there are things right now that you can do that can hasten the coming of God in a much more profound way. And when He comes externally, He's not just coming for us, He's coming for the whole community of which we are a part. But God wants to come to you now in who you are, and touch you, and give you wisdom and revelation. Some of you should be writing right now. Some of you should be worshiping and enjoying God, because that's the season where you are. How many of us right now, when we're in a time of great worship, you don't feel connected to it? Be honest, put your hands up. There's nothing wrong. You're not sinning. You just, maybe you should be at the back of the place, and we should just take the chairs out, let you lie down or something, and you should just be back there writing. Yeah? Don't try and be like the rest of them in manifestation, because it's not where you are. You should find a quiet seat, buy yourself a really nice journal, and sit back there and bless God and just start to write and see what God does for you, eh? And the Holy Spirit will come upon you in a totally different way. And that'll be cool. The thing is, in hiddenness, we don't depend upon external for our life support. We walk by faith believing. We learn how to be calm in the storm. We're still in the earthquake. We learn thanksgiving. But our heart becomes more and more fixed. We're not subject to external stimulus or events or circumstances. Our evidence for faith is simply what God has said to me. We learn how to turn inwardly and wait silently for God to speak, knowing that He will. In manifestation, we enjoy and experience the Lord, which blesses the body. But in hiddenness, we are promoted to new levels of insight and revelation, which actually build the house. Yeah? As we learn, as we get used to God and His ways in hiddenness, the Holy Spirit takes us into places that we can't even imagine right now. There are experiences that God wants to give you that are literally out of this world. But the entrance way into those is when you learn how to walk with God in hiddenness. Because you can't get to those places just through manifestation. You get to them by the discipline of being at peace, being at rest, being... That's where you learn to be ready with God. And that's why my opening statement on our very first evening was, there is a place in the Spirit where we can make the enemy tired and weary and depressed and discouraged. What is that place? It's the inner man of your spirit. Now the enemy hates you with a malignant, malevolent hatred, but he's not stupid. He won't chase you into the Holy of Holies for obvious reasons there. When you learn how to step back into your spirit, you are in a place of protection surrounded by God. I remember once, just to illustrate this, I had a dream one night. This is when the Lord was showing me about the whole thing of hiddenness. And in this dream, I was being pursued by a pack of beings. I won't even attempt to describe them, but they were horrendous. I don't know if you've seen Lord of the Rings, but they look worse than orcs. Right? And this chase was on, and they chased me up mountains, across plateaus, and I dived into rivers, I swam rivers, I ran across deserts, I ran across this plain, and these guys were gaining on me, and I was losing my strength. And the chase went on for several days, and looking ahead in the distance, I saw something shimmering. And so I just turned towards it. And I began running towards this thing, and these guys are catching me up. And when I get in within visible sight distance of it, all I see is it's like a shower curtain. But it's just made of really kind of transparent, almost just a thin gauze material. They're extremely thin, and it's just there. And all I get is this impression is dive in. And so I dived into this thing. And I can actually see the enemy coming again, running. And I'm stood there. And I feel this peace. And this voice just says to me, "Be still now." And so I stood there. But I get sight of them coming closer and closer. And I start to tremble. And the voice says again, "Be still now." And so I became more still. And then they're like 50, 60 yards away, and I start trembling. And the voice just chuckles quietly and says, "Be still now." And so I came to peace. And they came charging at me and just divided and went straight past. I could see them as clear as I can see you, but they never saw me. And then these arms came around me and just held me. And I heard this laughter in my ear. And the Lord says, "Gray, when you live in your spirit, the enemy does not know where you are. Only when he can pull you out of your spirit into your soul can he detect where you're living from. But in your spirit, man, there is a hiding place here. That you need to be hidden in this place, and you need to learn the ways of hiddenness and how to step back into your spirit and rest. And then you're not subject to all these things, but actually, this is the place from where you learn to conquer everything. This is the place of overcoming. This is the place where you get to fight a good fight, and a good fight is one that you don't lose. See, until we fully learn to live from our spirit, we'll probably process life through the soul, through our minds, our emotions, and our will. And if our thinking is defective or confused, if our emotions are up and down, we are not settled in our focus on God, and we can be taken. But as we learn to step and to retreat into our spirit map, you'll find yourself coming into places of worship. But when oppression is strongest, your worship rises up. You start praying prayers of submission, because this inner yielding to the will of God, this is turning to God. And you no longer want to be rescued from circumstances because you realize these events are designed for me to overcome. But the overcoming is not just about me coming into something, but that I can actually stand in this place, and if I overcome myself, who else may overcome, who's around me, who's observing this? There are lots of different reactions to hiddenness. Job said, "Why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy?" If you don't understand hiddenness, you think that there's something wrong with you, or you sin, or God is angry with you. Psalm 104 says, "You hide your face and they are dismayed. You take away their breath, their soul, they expire and return to dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." It's interesting, when you look at David's life, you know, why did he go through so many similar experiences? It's because a lot of the time he misunderstood God in times of hiddenness, and he thought God had rejected him. Psalm 44:24 said, "Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? Rise up, be our help, redeem us for the sake of your loving kindness." What's that? That's a prayer for manifestation in a time of hiddenness, and it's not going to get answered. That's what we do, isn't it? Reveal yourself to me, touch me, and nothing happens. Why? Because it's not about touching. It's about something else. Yeah? Psalm 88, "Lord, why do you reject my soul? Why do you hide your face from me?" He saw it as rejection. He misunderstood what God was doing, and he missed the point. "How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire?" Same mistake. One of the common mistakes in the church of hiddenness is to think that God is punishing us because of sin in our life. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I actually thought that God punished Jesus for all of that. Did I miss something? Has there been one sacrifice? Does there need to be another? I don't think we're in a season of judgment, beloved. I think we're in a prophetic season of grace. God has judged Christ on Calvary. And there'll come a day when the judgment seat, the books are open at the judgment seat of God. Between those two places, I thought we were in a prophetic season of grace. I thought the whole point of the new covenant is that God put us into a place where he could deal with us in mercy, not punish us for things. I don't believe there's any judgment for us. I believe there's chastisement and discipline, but not judgment. In the Old Testament, he hid from people because of their sins. I mean, you read that in Isaiah 64:7. "You've hidden your face from us and delivered us to the power of our iniquities." Isaiah 57, Ezekiel 39. But in the New Covenant, the reasons for God hiding from us because of sin are done away in Christ. Now we're in Christ, seeking to become Christ-like. In the New Testament, we have mercy, we have grace, we have forgiveness. And we have the promise of God in Hebrews 4:14-16, which talks about boldly approaching the throne of grace that we may find mercy to help us in our time of absolute need. There is a difference between relationship and fellowship. My son found that out when he was 4 years old. There were things that he could do that could damage our fellowship, and I might have to put him over my knee or take him to the woodshed. But it could never damage our relationship, because our relationship is founded on blood. Yeah? He is my son. If he misbehaves, our fellowship is affected, but not our relationship. You understand that principle? My son is my son. If he becomes a movie star and decides he wants nothing else to do with his dad, he's still my son. If he becomes a serial killer in Salem, he is still my son. If he has a sex change operation and becomes a lead singer in a female rock band, he is still my son. Why? Because the issue is blood. Yes? Our fellowship can be affected, but not our relationship, eh? We're blood bought. Christ is the measure for all of that. Thank God. So we're in this place. Many of us, I wonder how many of us right now, by those definitions, how many of us understand I'm in a place of hiddenness right now. Let me say, oh God. Hey, look, stand up. Look at us. Look at us. My goodness me. My goodness. You know what? This time of hiddenness is one of the best times of your life. But you've been hating it, haven't you? Because you don't understand what God is doing. Beloved, look at you. God bless you. This is going to be a fabulous time for you. A brilliant time when God is going to connect with you in a way that he never has done before. And you're going to experience things in God you never thought were possible. But right now, it's not about, you experiencing His presence. It's about you getting wisdom. God wants to talk to you right now. He also actually wants you to start living a bit more by faith and not in your emotions and your feelings. Feelings and emotions are brilliant. God made us that way. But also, He made us for a life in the Spirit to live by faith. There are things that God wants to give you now that are going to set you up for this time in the future. That will guarantee your victories in times to come. That will guarantee God wants to sow things into your life right now that you'll be experiencing for the next, 3 to 5 years. This is about revelation, beloved. If you don't own a journal, you need to go out and buy one. Guys, see what, I wish I'd bought a journal company or something. The money I could have put into missions, you guys should go and get a journal. You should understand right now that God is with you. He's present with you. That you're learning how to reach out in your faith. Yeah? Not with your emotions, with your faith. God's here because He said He would be. That's going to be enough for me. And then when you sit down in your quiet time, just what I believe God wants to do, He's going to give you a particular passage of Scripture. Whatever it might be, ask the Lord, give you a particular passage of Scripture. And when He does, do not read anything else for several months. So if you're reading through the Bible in 1 year, we just ruined all of that. Don't read anything else except that passage of Scripture. I remember the first time the Lord did this with me. He gave me Psalm 91. It said, Gray, don't read anything else. Everything in Psalm 91, Graham, is yours to experience in me. Every ounce of revelation contained in that passage is yours. Oh, sit down there. Oh, mate, stand up, sorry. Just wanted to see how many were out there. Everything in Psalm 91 is yours to experience. That's when I started to interact with angels. So everything in that passage became mine, about living in the secret place, living in the shadow of the Almighty. I lost my ability to be frightened from that point onwards. I lost my capacity to be intimidated. Instead, I cannot be intimidated now because I'm too busy being fascinated by Jesus. You lose negative capabilities and you gain different ones through the revelation God gives you. If God wants to give you a passage of Scripture, don't read anything else. He said to me, Greg, don't read anything else until I tell you to stop. After a couple of months, I was desperate for a bit of Timothy, eh? So I kind of flipped to Timothy and started reading, and my eyes went out of focus. Fortunately, I had the little piece of string there, and I flicked it back to Psalm 91, and my eyes came back into focus. The Lord said, what did I tell you? This is really important to me, Graham. There are things that you've got to dig out of this passage which I want to give you. What is that? It calls your inheritance work. Jesus went into the wilderness. And the world, you either go into the wilderness by design or by default. You either go in because God wants you there, or you go in because you're completely stupid, or monumentally stupid. The wilderness is a place where God takes you when He's happy with you. Jesus is the model here, right? So, is baptism, heaven opens, Holy Spirit descends in bodily form. That's kind of cool. Hear a voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What's the next thing that happens? He goes into the wilderness by design. In the wilderness, he went in when he was full, and then God made him empty. But in the wilderness, he learned how to overcome the enemy and how to overcome himself, part of that process. And then he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Goes to a synagogue, finds the place where it says Isaiah 61, reads it out and says, today this word is fulfilled in your hearing. Why could he say that? Because that was his inheritance word. And in hiddenness, God gives you your inheritance word for the next season of your life. So I lived in Psalm 91 for just over 5 months, but I experienced it for 8 years and still am. But I've had other inheritance words since. Yeah? See, we get saved on a fragment of the truth, don't we? You don't have to know the whole Bible to get saved. You get saved on a fragment of the truth. And the reality is, we don't actually need to know the whole of this to have experiences of God. You have to know the bits that God wants to show you. Okay, I know this is like talking against motherhood, isn't it? I can't think of anything more futile than reading through the whole Bible in a year. What are you going to get from that? Apart from a lot of head knowledge. There are things that God wants to particularly show you now. I love Scripture. I read it for pleasure. But I'm only studying the bits that God tells me to study because those are relevant to who I am now and what He wants to give me. Yeah? I read it for pleasure. I study it for life. Yeah? Phew, got through that one without being careful. Okay, so if you're in that place of hiddenness, this is going to be the best time of your life. God has got things to show you that will totally blow you away. And you are going to see a side of God. He's going to give you revelation about Him that will ruin you for the rest of your life. He's going to start to show you things, and you're going to start to live by faith in a way you never have done. And He will start to build things into your life. In manifestation, He's blessing a life into you. In hiddenness, He's building something into you. Yeah? This is a great time. You should enjoy this time. There'll come a time when He'll flip you over into manifestation. Sometimes there'll be weeks when you'll kind of like flip from one to the other. Just whatever God decrees there. But the point is, you're going to learn how to turn inwardly and yield to the Lord. And then you're going to be nobody's victim. Nobody's victim. But you're going to learn how to be a hero. You're going to learn how to be an overcomer. You're going to learn how to be a warrior. You're going to learn how to be more than a conqueror. You're going to learn how to see into the realm of the Spirit and make things happen. And you won't be a person, you know, not understanding what is happening. You'll be a person who knows what's happening and knows how to affect and influence things. There's a revelation God wants to give you right now of Himself. And it's going to be contained in the passage of Scripture that He gives you. Because that passage will be your inheritance word. Read it, memorize it, study it line by line, word by word, verse by verse. Live in it. Don't read anything else. And write and write and write until your little hand drops off. And see what God begins to show you. And you know what? As you get into it, you'll have a clarity of perception about your own life. But also, you'll start to see other people's things as well. You'll start to have a different perspective. And it's interesting to me, hiddenness is what makes us more prophetic. Because you start to see into the realm of the Spirit. And I do all my prophetic classes, I teach all my guys and girls how to live in hiddenness. Because it sharpens you up incredibly to the things of God. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. This is going to be a great time for us. Father, I pray, first of all, for all those who are in a place of manifestation, God, continue to pressurize them with your blessing. Continue to touch their hearts and make yourself real. And may they enjoy this manifested time immensely. May they receive from you a touch that's so profound, it will radically change who they are. But I ask, Lord, for all those in hiddenness right now, Father, I pray, my prayer is that we would thoroughly enjoy this moment that we have with you. Because we're going to get more wisdom in these next 6 months than we've had in maybe the whole of our Christian experience. We're going to get more personal revelation than we've ever had before. You're going to speak to us. You're going to open your heart to us. You're going to declare your mind and your ways to us. Thank you for that. You're going to show us who you are for us. And in that passage of Scripture, as we begin to study it, we're going to come into a place of experience of it, confession of it, declaration of it, proclamation of it. And everything in that passage is our inheritance for the next stage of this journey. As I pray, Holy Spirit, enjoy yourself. I pray that you will be able to give to us all the things that you want to bestow at this time. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would just wean us off our emotional kick into faith. You're here. You're here. And many of us, since I started talking, those of us in hiddenness are suddenly realizing how close you are right now. Because our faith has started to reassert itself. Can you feel that? Your faith has started to reassert itself above your emotions. Brilliant. Your emotions are wonderful. But right now it's your will that we need. Your will needs to manifest right now. I believe that God is here and He's hiding right next to me. And He's going to show me things that He's wanted to show me for a long, long time. I am going to enjoy this season. I'm going to squeeze out of it every last drop of revelation that belongs to me. And Holy Spirit, I pray, thank you for creating the hunger and thirst in us for revelation. And now come in and fill that gap. And I ask, Lord, that in this season of hiddenness, you will create the warrior spirit in us. We'll rise up that we'll become men and women of faith and men and women of deep truth, revelation. I pray that you will give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that we will never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it.